near Atlanta, Georgia.
And my name is
Lisa Bill
from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Where in Oklahoma? It's Muskogee.
Is that where they imprison the Indians?
Nearby, yes.
Yeah. The Indian prison camp.
What was that?
Muskogee, Oklahoma?
That's correct.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
Me too.
Welcome. Yes, they're pouring in now. Who is that? Say who you are and where you're from.
Hi, this is Marty Cook, Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Marty.
Welcome, welcome. Are you close to the, are you actually close to the Salt Lake?
I'm about 20 miles south of there.
That's close.
Oh, so, I mean, that's a big lake. How do you get to be south of the lake? You can't be in Salt Lake City then.
I'm in San Diego, actually.
Great. Hey, who else we just got on?
This is Lou Harris, Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, Lou. Tucson, there's a hot place. Fabulous. Welcome.
Yeah.
Who else we just had join? Oh, it's in, Incognito just joined the call.
Mm-hmm.
Say again, please. Say again, please. Okay, we're almost up to time. I'm just going to give another couple of minutes for people to arrive because a lot of people will be arriving on time in a minute or two thereafter.
Your line unmuted.
Farrell Brenner.
Farrell, you finally got on the call. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Just so you know, Farrell is the man who makes the gift. That lovely, sweet, uplifting product.
Thank you.
Whose product, the gift, is the prize for this call that we're drawing and is being announced on this call by Sharon. Fabulous. Good to have you on the call, Farrell. Like your product.
Thank you.
Who else did you have just come in?
I'm just muting myself.
Okay.
Good evening. This is Emmett. Hello.
Emmett. Hi, Emmett. Where are you from?
Pasco, Washington.
Fabulous. I've seen a lot of your posts, and I go, he's an interesting guy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Is anyone calling from the old number, the 8,000 number?
Doesn't sound like it.
Does that mean with both numbers we can get 150 people?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
It basically means that we just hooked up the two rooms so that anyone who strayed into the old, who had the old number, who hasn't had my email for the last few days and is using the old number, isn't left out. It's unlikely that anyone's going to be in the old room, but we just wanted to cover ourselves just to make sure that we haven't missed anyone out.
Well, you know, I emailed Velda early this morning, and I don't know if she'll read the emails before she tries to get online. If she does, she'll be in that old room.
Yeah, okay. Velda, are you in? She's not saying anything, or she's...
Hi, it's Cinder.
Good morning.
I'm calling. Hi, how are you? It's 9 o'clock here. Good morning. I'm excited.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's that? Where are you from?
I'm from Binghamton, New York.
From who, New York?
Welcome.
From Binghamton, New York.
Welcome, Binghamton.
Welcome.
Thank you. Who's this? Is this Dennis?
This is Dennis and Sigverta, both talking intermittently.
And Sigverta. Hi, Sigverta. Hi, Kelvin.
Glad you joined us.
I'm so delighted. I'm thrilled to be in your presence, and I'm looking forward to the call. And I'm sure others are calling, so I will talk to you later. I'll let you go on, I guess.
All right.
You just hit number six, and that'll mute your phone, and then hit six again if you want to ask a question.
What do you want me to do now? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Hit number six on your keypad.
Okay.
And
is it I've got a cell phone. Is it okay? Does it work on a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. Six.
On the old room, it took star six to mute the call, and in this room, it only takes six.
Dennis?
Yes.
Before we get
Harry.
Too further along, I'd like to ask everyone to send me an email just to let me know that you're on the call. You can wait until after the call. That way we can kind of get an idea of how many people showed up and that info.
So let me just say, guys, if this is the very first conference call you've been on, and this is only the second conference call that's ever happened, this is the illustrious Barry Carter, who the whole purpose of doing these calls is A, to raise huge amount of information and awareness in the community. But well, the first reason for the call to even happen was to raise funds for Barry. Because without Barry, none of it would have happened. The information, the sites, the community, the whole thing. So Barry, thank you very much for being on our second call. Barry was our guest on the first call, and I tell you, the man is nothing short of phenomenal in his laid back, ever so ordinary kind of no big deal kind of way. As opposed to me, who's a bit of an excited character. Barry, welcome and thank you for being on the second call.
Thank you.
I have to ask you, are you as fulfilled as you could possibly be and as happy and well in yourself as you could possibly be? Because I reckon that there's a huge spiritual background and an alchemical speed up to that whole process. And I have done the spiritual background, and Sigvet has done it in spades. And Sigvetha has taken some of that huge spiritual background and found that a lot of the state that a person was able to achieve with lots and lots of what we call spiritual practices. I don't even like that spiritual word, actually, because it's kind of misused. Because a spiritual perspective really comes from spiritual practices, and most people don't do practices. But that's my philosophy. I would like, in a moment, to invite on and to speak our main guest of the day, Sigvetha. Before we do, I want to just give a couple of rules of the game. Firstly, when Sigvetha speaks, we'll just let him talk for a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, however long he wants to talk, and then we'll have the floor open for questions. And if you want to ask a question, hit number six on your phone, which will unmute you, and then ask the question, and then mute so that any noise in your background doesn't come through the line. And also on the call, we have the woman who has been, who's basically been Barry's minder, his financial shadow, the person who makes sure that he's even got enough money to go to the dentist or to put food on the table, and that is Sharon. And Sharon is
Marcus.
She's an amazing person, and she's the logistical arm of this thing. And I'd like to invite Sharon on at the moment. Sharon, would you please this is your commercial spot, darling. Go for it.
I pay dearly for this commercial spot.
All right, so you can hear me. All right. Hey, hi, everybody. And it's really, really wonderful. We are doing something that is making Ormus history. This is our second call. The first one was kind of like it was over before I even realized that what we had actually done. And we're doing other things as well. This is we're creating a foundation, an inner resource to generate the kinds of funds that is just going to take us into a new dimension. And, you know, our goal ultimately then, well, not the ultimate goal, you guys should hear what Barry has in mind, but our next goal, once we secure enough money, regular monthly stipend for Barry, and it's not that much, once we get that down, then anything that we generate beyond that is going to be going towards establishing the 501c3 nonprofit corporation. And after that, the money is going to be going towards research, funding research. This is something that comes up recurring. I mean, I don't think a day goes by on the Ormus list or the White Gold list where somebody doesn't say, where's the research? How come, you know, how can you say this without the research? And that's really the goal of the financial goal of what we're doing. And we're going to have a lot of fun and get a lot of education and really stitch the Ormus community together by hearing our voices and sharing ideas and asking questions. And I wanted to announce the winner of last week's raffle. And I don't know Alan's last name. Alan, if you're on this call, you are from Scotland, and it's probably 3 o'clock in the morning where you are.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Alan. Unmute yourself and speak up.
Thanks very much. I wasn't sleeping, Dennis.
Well, I've announced the winner, but what we
your
need to do...
Your line has been muted.
What we need to do is... Farrell on. I'm very grateful that Farrell was able to make it. He sent me an email, said he was going to be on the road. So he's here.
He is on the call.
If we could get Farrell on to talk about the gift which he gifted to this cause. And just before I bid you a silent mute here, I do want to mention one more thing. We would like to see $5 donation for these calls. It's not mandatory. Nobody's going to please after you. It is a suggested donation, and with your $5 donation, you will get one entry into the next raffle. And Siegberto will be sharing with us what he's going to be offering in the next raffle. So $5, and if you want more entries in the raffle, they are $5 per entry. So I'm going to pass it back to you, Dennis, and you can maybe get Farrell on.
Great. Farrell, are you on the call?
This is Farrell.
Good on you, mate. Now, what I'd like you to do is a one-minute ad for your product, because, look, you gave it to the group to use as a fundraising, so this is your commercial spot. Go for it. 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute. The gift is inside of you, and the gift as a product is something that helps to release what is inside of you. And some people call it the shadow, and some people call it one thing or another. The point is, the gift is a way to help you to get at the treasure that's inside of you. And that's what the alchemy is all about. And that's what Ormus is for, ultimately. And when your consciousness is high enough, the shadow is taking its rightful place. It's no longer a shadow. It's in the sunlight. And then your health will fully manifest, your happiness, and all the rest of it that goes with it. And that's the end of my one-minute spot. I also would request, I need the information from Alan to send the gift to him. Who will give that to me?
I'll email you,
Farrell. I'll forward that to you, Farrell.
Okay. I think I came in under a minute.
That was great.
Bravo!
Yeah, and let me just say that I got the gift from Phil, and it's a very nice, sweet uplift. Just your sounds get clearer, the visuals get clearer, and my phone's going, go away. And so thank you very much, Phil, for that. And now, this is the moment. Okay. This is what these calls are all about. And let me ask you a rhetorical question. Do you guys absolutely know that you grow like the company you keep? And if you want to know where your life is at, just look at the quality of the six best friends that you've got. Well, you grow like the company you keep in terms of the things you eat as well. And you grow like the company you keep in terms of the vibration of the things that you take into your body. And now we're on the money in terms of alchemy. Because I had a couple of little out of gold sort of alchemical products this morning, and I have to tell you, I'm cooking, I'm charged, I'm happy, I'm going for it, and I have to tell you that this person we have as our guest, Sigberta, is a pioneer in alchemical products, and his background is extraordinary. That's why I sent it out to you guys to read, because otherwise there'd be too many questions about his background. And here's a guy who's taken a huge amount of spiritual development and learned how to produce alchemical substances to capture some of that. Now, Sigberta, I'd like to welcome you to the call. And just before you say anything, if you guys haven't hit 6 already to mute your line, please do so now. And Sigberta, you're on.
Okay, well, thank you, and you told me to take a minute to pitch the new raffle product for next month. And so what I am offering is a person's choice of $100 worth of products from our website. And then it will be shipped to them free by airmail directly to their house. So I understand that for every $5 donation, then there is one raffle ticket. So I encourage all the people who are here to join into this worthy cause, because we're kind of like on this together. And help each other, assist each other, then that's the meaning of what we're all about in doing. You also told me to take 1 minute on our Tibetan gold products. We actually have probably the widest offering of products in the Ormus market, I call it, but we also have about 45 different kinds of teas. Teas was not necessarily a second thought for me, because in my studies of Chinese herbal medicine, I know and understand and have experienced a lot of additional health benefits from the various flower, herbal, and regular teas that are now offered on the web. We also have about, I guess, maybe 20 or 30 variations of different types of ormus that people can have a look at. And since we're located in China and our supplies come out of China, we probably have the lowest, most economical way to enter into ormus that is available. So our prices are, I think, quite reasonable. They're actually too low, but they are and will remain low, because my interest is in having as many people try ormus, see if it works for them, and then possibly continue using it. There's when I first started, there were maybe a half dozen or maybe a dozen different suppliers. Now there's over 50. So the marketplace is growing, because I think many, many people throughout the world are beginning to see the benefits of taking these very beneficial health, minerals, and also which improve a person's spiritual development. So that's my interest. That's my offer for the next raffle, and that's a little bit about our products.
Thank you for that, Roberta.
Okay.
What I'd love you to talk just a couple of minutes on, because I know that you're just a first-class storyteller, and it could just take up too much time. So I'd like you to do a couple of minutes, if you will, on... Because I sent out your history.
Yeah.
That you sent me is two and a half pages of history, which is quite a phenomenal history. But I'd like you to do a couple of minutes on what was the key that turned Siddhartha, the spiritual being, who had all this experience, into the alchemist.
Okay, well, if people have read the long bio, and I apologize for it being so long, but it's hard to fit in many of the things I've done without taking up a number of words. But people come into Ormus, I think, from many different sides or directions, and the direction I got into it was from the religious and spiritual side. Some come in through science, and some come in through just a passing interest in alchemy. But mine is rather deep-seated, and it comes from a long way back, from even when I was in my teens. And I was a student of the Bible for many years, and a couple of recurring things happened in the Bible by probably every one of the prophets, and that was the mention of gold and the mention of sunlight. And so I've had a concentration on those throughout my life, and as I studied more and more and then became interested in the other world religions and began reading their books, like the Vedas and the Buddhist literature and even certain of the Islamic literature, I found out that there was this recurring theme. So it's not something that's unique to Christianity. It's also recurring in all the major religions, and that is there is some kind of a mystical substance available that has been known by the most educated, most religious, spiritual prophets of all the religions. And that thing happens to be called Ormus today. We know that the ancient Sumerians, the ancient Egyptians, and most every other ancient culture at some time or another has come across or mentioned this very special substance, and I think we have it available to us today. So my venture into Ormus came by the religious and spiritual path. And you know, when I first heard about David Hudson, and then I think I emailed maybe 6 years ago or something, Barry, I knew when I saw the first information about it that this was what I had been looking for so many years, probably 30 or 40 years. And, you know, I had no doubts right in the beginning. To make it, I had to test it, I had to do many things, but I realized that here was something that is ancient and something that has been sought after by every culture and every religion since mankind has been here. And so I came into Ormus that way. And I wasn't new to alchemy either, because I probably had 30 or 40 books on alchemy, which I've been collecting for the past 30 or 40 years. And I ventured into actually making what we call Ormus, or the white powder of gold, many, many times over the years, from many kinds of substances. Of course, I've tried the chemical approach as well, and I've had some very interesting explosions, and I've had, you know, burning eyes, and I've had all kinds of things, because I thought that was the way. But if you read the ancient European alchemist, it's all a mass literature. It's very difficult to understand, and what they call mercury, for example, is not really mercury. What they call gold is not really gold. what they call silver or sulfur is not really sulfur. So a person who is going by the chemical path, depending upon the European alchemists of old, may get into some trouble. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't continue their search for it. Because I also understand that a whole big part of alchemy is to spiritualize the alchemist. And as much as I've spoken about it over the years on the list, you can't get beyond the place where intention is probably the leading factor in one's success with the various kinds of alchemy, or even the amount of wormholes one can make these days. A person's spiritual awareness, their consciousness, their intention, why they want to do this, it has a lot to do with the success that you will have or that I have had. And so I know for a fact that one's head and heart have to be in the right place in order to be a successful alchemist. Now, you also wanted me to say a little bit about how I came to found such a company as Tibetan Gold. Well, once I discovered that you could make this stuff, and by the way, I followed some of the alchemical paths of the ancient Europeans, and that is, you know, I've made this stuff from urine. I have made this stuff from semen. When I came to China the first time, I got a hold of Li Shixian's compendium on Chinese herbs and medicine. It's probably the Bible for Chinese medical people. It's about 2,000 pages. But anyway, he lists in there 28,000 different kinds of herbs and plants and also minerals. And in some cases, he tells where he gets it. And I also read the writings of Kung Fu Chi. Now, we know in the West him as Confucius. Confucius talks about making this universal medicine also. These were the Chinese alchemists. And for centuries, I mean probably millennia, the Chinese have also been involved in alchemy. And so there, you know, every culture at some time or other has had their people that get very involved in the making of this magical substance, which is generally called the white powder of gold or the universal medicine. And so, you know, I tried many of Li Shixian's concoctions. I tried some of Kung Fu Chi, Confucius's concoctions, and it's the same stuff, ultimately. And that's how I decided to get involved in this in a much more, in a deeper way. I had a big fight with my wife over doing that because, you know, most Chinese women are very conservative in spending money. And when she found out that I was going to invest, you know, a lot of money, she was not in favor of it. But I felt like more people in the world need to be aware of Ormus because it does a number of things. My bent or my tradition in Ormus is more of the health route. Many people know that I had scoliosis when I was a child, and my parents were not too aware of the need to have that fixed, and so I never got any medical treatment for it. But as I continued to grow into manhood, I have a distinct curvature of the spine, and so for about 35 years I suffered with severe back pain. And when I began taking Ormus, within 3 to 4 days, it was gone. It was like a miracle. And I decided, wow, this is some really impressive stuff for me personally. And so for the first several years, I just made my own homemade stuff. And then I ran into a fellow here in China Actually, he's from Shanghai, but he also spent 25 years in the States and became an American citizen, but now he's back in China. And he was interested in this new, the new ways to make free energy. And so he came into Ormus from the energy side. But we spent many days together talking about this, and I helped him make his first and showed him how to do it and use it. And he said, you know what, we need to get together some adequate supplies of this stuff and make it available to people. And since he speaks two dialects of Chinese, he made some contacts that he knew in China. Li Qixian, in his medical compendium, had stated that he made a universal medicine for the emperors of China, and that his source material was salt from Tibet. And even though Beijing, in the capital of China, is about 1,800 miles from his source, the medicine he made was very expensive because the people in those days had to ride the Bactrian camels and horses and or walk, you know, to bring it back into central China. But when I read that, I said, we've got to go there. I was a bit dissatisfied, in fact, that, you know, the yield from seawater was not as good as I felt like it should be. In other words, it's very expensive if a person's going to make a lot of ormus to just make it out of seawater, though you can do it. And I was then looking for the most prolific source that I could find. And I tried, you know, Dead Sea salt, Salt Lake City salt. I tried salts from Australia. I tried salts from the Celtic sea salt. I tried many different kinds of salts, and they all have good things about them. And you can make very good ormus from all of them. So don't put all of those down. But when I discovered the salt out in Tibet, the Tibetan Plateau, it's actually Eastern Himalayas near the Chinese border. James and I found five lakes up there. And by the way, there are hundreds of them. Because in the little nooks and crannies in the ravines of the eastern Himalayas, there are many, many of these little salt lakes. Some are good, some are not so good. But we did locate five of them, and it was interesting to us. And I think at one time I posted some photos of the different colors of water. Some of these lakes are yellow. Some of them are different shades of blue. Some are different shades of green. And some of them are quite clear. But they're extremely salty. Tibet has, you know, the lakes are located about 14,000 feet elevation. So it's very cool. But in the summertime, it gets very hot. And the skies out there, I mean, this is desert country. It's in the southern prefecture of the Gobi Desert. They have wild two-humped Bactrian camels roaming around. I felt like Indiana Jones when we went out the first time, and we had to drive about 4.5 hours up into the mountains in a four-wheel drive to locate these lakes. But we took those samples all the way back to civilization in China and had them all tested. And we spent a considerable amount of money doing that, but I felt like if I was going to make a commercial product, I wanted to know that these things were good for people and not harmful to them. And so I was very interested to find out that these Chinese PhDs, most of them trained in either England or the United States, and using the state-of-the-art equipment, could not tell us what this stuff was once we derived the ormus from it. And it made me feel quite like David Hudson when, you know, they were telling him, what is it? We can tell you what it isn't, but we can't tell you what it is. And that was about all I needed to hear because I'd heard that before. But anyway, what I discovered was our salt and our salt water, especially the salt water, it's better than the salt actually, because in that high altitude, in the hot sunlight, desert sunlight in the summer, for about 6 months, this stuff evaporates. In the spring and the fall, when it begins to snow and it's still a bit warm in the valleys, you know, the glacial melt runs down, and that part of Tibet used to be an ancient seabed. And so you've got the ancient seabed minerals, and also you've got the salt coming in from various hot springs around, and it's dumping a lot of minerals in these little salt lakes. In the summertime, the water in there evaporates, so that the concentration of salt in the water is greater than any place I've ever discovered. It's greater than the Dead Sea. And so we found that we got from 400 to 600% of precipitate more than the water we put in. In fact, it's so concentrated that you have to dilute the water. You have to dilute the salt water. The ormus we got was some of the best I've ever had, and it's quite good. Later on, I got into David Hudson's patent and began making ormus with the pure metals, and we're now able to do that with gold, iridium, and rhodium. And these are very expensive metals, but the white powder that is derived from them is amazing, actually. I don't know what else you want me to say about how I got into the business.
Mate, you've covered it fantastically. Better than I expected.
You told me to talk fast because we both agreed that you can't tell the Orma story in just a few minutes.
No, that's
your
right.
Line
that's
has
right.
Been unmuted.
You've done great. Now listen, are you willing to take questions from the group at this point?
I am.
Great. Okay, so who wants to be first?
I would like to be first.
Who is
this?
I?
Is Barry.
That's Barry.
So,
would you post some pictures of those beautiful lakes on your website?
No, I didn't post them on the website, but at the time I had some questions from people, and I was telling them about the different colored lakes. I still have some pictures, and James has also got some. I can look him up, though. He's inactive in the business, and I only see him 3 or 4 times a year now. But I could probably get some pictures.
Well, I would love to see them again. I saw them, and I've been looking for them, and I can't find them. They are absolutely stunning pictures, and it would be great to have them on your website.
Well, maybe we can do that. I was talking to my webmaster recently, and I said, hey, we got to shape this website up because, you know, that was our first attempt. It's the first time I've ever done any kind of internet business at all, and, you know, we're still in the learning mode. But we can do that, sure.
Hey, listen, guys, what most of you don't know is... is this extraordinary character, Sigvirta, this extraordinary character, Barry Carter, have never spoken to this call. So this is really neat because we're bringing together a whole bunch of people on this call. And so who's got the next question?
Don't be shy.
Sigvirta, is your wife still, this is Sharon. Is your,
hi, Sharon.
Your wife happy that you invested that money yet?
Oh, she's pleased now because, but like I say, I mean, I don't know if you know the Chinese culture, but you know, everybody in Hong Kong lives in a very small house because they don't spend money on what they're doing. They bank it. They got the highest percentage of money invested in the bank than any country in the world, and so she'd rather see the cash than she would spend it. And so
That was my backward way of saying, is your business successful for you yet?
Well, it's beginning to show a profit. We invested quite a lot in the beginning, and it's very expensive to get this salt and water out of Tibet because actually, and I hope there's no Chinese officials on the call, it's illegal to export any mineral deposits from China. It's even illegal within China. You can't take it out of a particular province. And every time I go up there, I have to get recertified by the police and by the Army. Because, you know, east of there, maybe 400 or 500 miles, is where they launch their rockets. And so if you go through that territory in the far west of China, they want to know who you are. And I'm very suspect because I have an American passport. But anyway, we've paid some bribes, and we know the people that control the area. And we also have to bribe the customs officials at the nearest train station every time we ship it out of there. So, I mean, it costs us a little extra to do that. But we're willing to do it because the source material is so good.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
That's fabulous. Who else wants to ask a question?
I would. My name is Emmett.
Hi, Emmett.
Brother, how about if you took your sodium hydroxide up there and did the precipitates right on the spot?
Well, we thought about doing that, but you also have to understand something about the Chinese. They create nothing, and they haven't done in the last 400 years, but they're very good at copying stuff. And, you know, I don't really want to go up there and get some little helpers who watch everything I do and then learn how to do it and then, you know, say, you can't get this water anymore. Or you can't get this salt anymore.
That's the entire Oriental culture.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they are very, very money-oriented, and they don't believe in any kind of patents or proprietary information, so they'll copy anything. And then if they control the land and they think they can do what you're doing, then they'll do it and then forbid you to come in and get it anymore. So we've been very reluctant to go up there and do that. That's what James wanted to do at first. But I told him, wait a minute, you know, not now. So we actually are able to get it out of Tibet into Qinghai province, put it on a train, and then have it shipped directly to Shenzhen, which is across the border here at Hong Kong. And then we have to bribe another guy to haul it over the border from mainland China into Hong Kong. But the three times that we've done it so far, we've been quite successful.
Well, with it,
I don't know what'll happen in the future.
With it being six times as concentrated in the water as it is when you make the precipitate, it's probably cheaper and easier to ship the water.
Well, it could be. But, you know, heavy, that water is very heavy, too. It's you know, we get a container, and we load that container with these huge plastic barrels of this water, and they think I'm absolutely crazy. So they, you know, the guy up there at the that controls the lake, he said, you know, we'd like to sell you some of this salt, but the water, he said, that's you. What's that for? And so I told him that I would, you know, buy the salt, and he could just give me the water. And he said, okay. He said, but can you give me two cartons of cigarettes? And I said, yeah, I sure can. And so I said, go down to the store and find two cartons of cigarettes that you like. And that's what I had to pay for the water. Because they think it's absolutely useless, and I think they think I'm crazy for even wanting the water.
Who else wants to ask a question?
Yeah, okay.
Mr. McMahon, I'll talk to you, please. May I ask Nick?
Excuse me? Go ahead.
Yeah, you're on. Okay, hi. I'd like to thank you for doing this. It's wonderful. It's a great opportunity. My question has to do with, when are you going to do the book? We need to hear what you're saying, and we need to be able to see it and go through it and meditate on it and learn from it. And not only what you know in an alchemical sense, but so much of what you wrote in your biography is also things that we need to know. So I'd like to know when.
Well, you know, I was looking back. I told, you know, he wanted me to do a long bio and a short bio. I did the long bio, and that took me about 4 days, and I had to reminisce a lot. When it came to doing the short bio, you cannot tell the in a few words. Dennis told me to write about a half a page short bio, and I can't do it. I'm sorry, I tried. But what I did do, and I told Dennis this, that if a person were to do a search under the search word Seek Verda in the Ormus list and the White Gold list and also Ormus and Spirit, there's over 800 references of things that I have written where I've explained things. I've talked about how I started the company. I talked about, you know, how we found the salt and how I got into Ormus. All the things he wanted me to say in short bio, I've already written a number of times.
I did that search tonight.
Okay. Well, what I started doing last night when I realized that I could not actually say what I needed to say in just a half a page, I started going through the archives myself, and I was up till 3 o'clock this morning copying the number of the message, the date it was written, on many of the various topics, and I came up, you know, I went through about 100 of them, and I got about 40 that I think are worthwhile. But I didn't realize myself that I had written so much in the Ormus list over the past 3 or 4 years, or 5 or 4 years. I don't know how long it's been. But,
and you're saying to search it on what? On the site, on the Tibetan Gold site?
No. Search it on Barry's, on the Yahoo, the Ormus Yahoo group.
I see. Okay.
If you do a search under the name Seek Verda,
yes,
you'll come up with a lot of things that have been written by me in the past, but also you'll find people arguing with me, and I answer their questions. I think Barry actually only moderated me once. But, I apologize, and I got back in the good graces. But some people are very hard-headed, and they don't... they don't understand, really, and their approach to Ormus has been different than mine. And, I've been lots of places, and I've seen lots of things. And when I usually write something or say something, it's from, you know, a vast amount of experience, and I've been through a lot. I've been, you know, I'm nothing special, don't get me wrong, but I've had a lot of life experience. I've probably lived 3 or 4 lifetimes, you know, in my 60 years. And, I told my mother, she said, "You're going to kill yourself, you're working so hard." And I said, "Well, you know, I'm ready to go at any time. I mean, if I drop dead in the street, I will have done far more things than I ever thought I could. And I would have experienced a whole lot more of life than most people do." And so, as I said in the long bio, you know, I am so thankful that I still have the inquiring student mind. And I'm still searching. I'm still looking. From a religious standpoint, the thing that separates me from most people of religion is that most people, except the Buddhists, by the way, if you're going to ascend, if you're going to glorify yourself, if you're going to resurrect, it's after death. Now, I don't happen to believe that's true. I believe it is possible to, you know, perfect yourself and become immortal in this life. And most of the religions, especially the Christian religions, don't believe that. Islam doesn't believe it. But I believe it's true. We just have to know how to do it. And so my whole search, my whole life has been in trying to find out how that can be done. And that's why I have researched all the various religions. We know that Jesus did it. We know that Buddha did it. We know that Krishna did it. By the way, Muhammad did not. And so... these people perfected themselves in this life. You know, Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration, for example, he exhibited immortal qualities. Buddha sat in the air for about 60 days or something, and, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of people saw him. They lit up like a light bulb. In other words, their light body took over. And I believe that is the goal. I believe that's what we're supposed to do, is to learn how to do that. And I believe that Ormus is one more of the keys to doing that. And so, you know, I don't want to get too religious, because we got people from all over the world and all over the various religions involved in these conversations. But I believe our goal as a human being is to perfect ourselves in this life before we die. That's not an easy task. That is the, you know, very few people ever have accomplished it, but I believe there are far more people who have than we know about.
I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I truly thank you. Who else wants to thank
you? Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah, Sig Murtha. This is Todd.
Hi, Todd.
I was very impressed with your bio, and I noticed something in there that caught my attention, and I wanted to ask, how does the Gurdjieff Ouspensky Araj perspective relate to Ormus and alchemy? And
okay, well, I'll get into that, and I appreciate you raising that question by email. I experienced a lot of growth studying Gurdjieff. Now, this was a weird man. He was very strange, but he was also very correct, in my opinion. And some of the things that he brought out, like the law of three, the law of seven, the eternal law of 12, and you'll see those numbers in all the scriptures, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, it's always seven and 12 and three. He gives the best explanations. Gurdjieff gives the best explanations of those eternal laws of numbers. He also gives laws of motion and movement. He also talks about perfecting the human being from within. He also talks about the four rooms. If you get his book, especially, I mean, get Ouspensky's book called In Search of the Miraculous, he spends a chapter in there talking about the four rooms in everybody's house. In other words, he's speaking of the body, but we got four rooms. We can take the one room is Dharma, one is the fakir, one is the yogi, and then here, You approach life through suffering. You feel like, you know, you will perfect yourself through suffering. Dharma has to do with dedication. So if you like dedicate yourself to one of the saints in Hinduism, but we do the same thing in Christianity. And that is, if we, you know, the Catholics, they have their favorite saint, and they will, you know, pray to that saint, and they devote their lives to that saint. And in some senses, you know, we idolize Jesus Christ. And we say that, you know, I will devote my entire life and every motion to that work. But what Gurdjieff says is, you got to be a little bit of all three of those. And when you do, then you enter the fourth room. And that's why his school, that, you know, he died in the early 1900s, but they still teach his principles. And he was talking about the perfection coming through the fourth way. You know, we hear our politicians talking about, you know, conservative, liberal, and so they try to find the middle way. Well, hey, yes, that's the law of three. But he said human perfection has to go one step beyond that, and you have to enter the fourth room. And you can only do that by experiencing each of those others. In other words, you've got to do some practice, you've got to do some dedication and devotion, and you've got to have some suffering in order to to get to the point where you can move out of individually each of those rooms into the fourth room. And that's where we truly attain perfection. And Gurdjieff gives the best explanation of that of anyone I've ever heard. He also has this thing in there about the law of octaves. Now, that's actually the eternal law of seven. But what he's talking about is how the universe is laid out. And if you can understand that, I haven't been able to find an explanation of that. It's not easy to understand, but, you know, if you search the Vedas, you'll get a little bit of it. If you search the Bible, you get a little bit of that. If you search the teachings of Buddha, you get some of that. But you don't get it all like Gurdjieff spells it out. And so that's why I say if people are really on a spiritual path and they want to get as much as they can and understand themselves, then they need to read some of Gurdjieff. Another impressive part is he uses the topic called self-knowing. And I don't know if you know about it, but he set up a school in France. And a lot of very wealthy people, he's charged tremendous prices. But his philosophy was people only value things that they have to spend a lot of money for. And so he never had a lot of students in his school.
Let me ask you this, Sigvirta. Is there any link that you can send people to? Because I know that this could be a conversation you've gone for quite some time, and we're getting to the end of this conference call.
Yeah, all right. Well, all I can say is I recommended four or five books. The best one, I think, is P.D. Alspensky's book, In Search of the Miraculous. I know I've got one of the very old copies that's, you know, dated in the 40s. But it's available today in paperback, I think. And if you contact any of these Alspensky, Gurdjieff, Fourth Way schools, they'll have it. You can also probably get it on Amazon now. Once you study about Gurdjieff, you'll want to read probably everything he wrote. I think his greatest work was Meetings with Remarkable Men. And he talks about what he learned from... You know, he traveled all over the Orient and the Holy Land and everywhere during his life. And he mentions the people that he met and were significant in his life. So you can learn a lot from Gurdjieff himself.
Great. Thank you for that. What I'd like to do is just take two last questions. And what I'd like to do is have some questions on almost... or any of the technological aspects of it.
Okay.
It's Io here, and I just want to say that I've actually read Meetings with Remarkable Men, and it was just amazing. I lived with a book for months, so I can really recommend that one very highly. A different way of looking at things, and he's just an incredible, incredible man that we really don't hear a lot of.
Right. Well, you know, the most spectacular spiritual advancements are not done by groups. They're only done by individuals. And so you've got to get into the lives of the people that have experienced these things in order to grow yourself. You won't get it from a church. You won't get it from a religion. You've got to do this work on your own because no one is ever saved in a group.
Yeah, right on. Anyone else? Thanks, Io.
Your line has been unmuted.
Who is that? Waiting.
Any questions?
No questions. I got a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is I?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sure.
Who is I?
Okay, right. I didn't know if I was muted or not. Okay, this is John. Hi. I am curious, what would you say the main difference in what you're offering in the, what's it called, Tibetan Golden Gold Sunlight or something like that, the first one, I guess, and the Red Lion that you offer, like mainly, what would you say are the main features for choosing between those?
Well, let me say right now that I've made the Red Lion. I got some on my shelf behind me right now. I've also got some Green Lion back there, and I've tried both of them. And these are some pretty scary things, and a person had better be careful when they use these because the great caution should be exercised. And what I've done with the red powdered gold and also the what we call the red elixir is I have made a form of ingestible red powder without using acid. Okay? And it involves an electrical process very similar to Jarl. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Jarl, but if you're not, then look that up, and you can see that he made some colloidalized very small particles, and then further processed it, and we have pretty well perfected that process. Now this stuff won't light your fire, but I think there are people on the list who have tried this stuff, and it does have an extremely healthy, calming effect for a more advanced person. It will further your path if you've put out of yourself emotionality and a lot of your personality. What I say is a person should become or strive to be both unemotional and impersonal. I believe that personality causes darkness in the body. I believe that emotionality is, in fact, darkness. If you study Buddhism, you'll find out that desire, and that's what Buddha said, you know, before he ascended, he said, God, you know, he was seeking nirvana so drastically. He had eliminated all desire. But then he realized that he still had one more, and that was that he desired heaven, nirvana, still, and that was a great desire. And then when he said, I give this up too. I don't care if I, you know, make nirvana or not. You know, I've done all I can do. Well, at the very moment he released that desire for heaven itself, is when he began levitating, rising off the ground. Of course, he'd sun-gazed for about 7 days prior to that. But anyway, his body was full of light at that point because desire was his emotion, his darkness.
Thank you for that. And my question for you, and you just brought up a subject that's been a hot subject on the science forum at the moment, which is...
Yeah, I know, and I've stayed out of it.
The subject of the red lion. Now, would you please encapsulate for me and for us, just in a minute or so, why the red lion is what you called, I think, dangerous or too potent, and why that is?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's too potent. I just don't think most people are prepared for it. You've got to be, I think Barry would attest to the fact that people who have used the Red Lion have had some bad experiences with it. And I'm not saying people shouldn't try it, but they better make sure that their bodies are full of light before they do. And I don't think most people are to that stage yet. You know, that might, like, be one of the final things you do. So, you know, I'm not particularly against it. I'm just saying that a person needs to be extremely careful when they introduce these acid-made products in their body because you may, in fact, you never know how pure it is, in fact. And I think some of the things can help it. Our desire is to become a bit more alkaline, not more acidic. And if you take the red line, you're going to be getting some acid. So, I mean, that's my contention with the stuff. I'm not saying it isn't a part of the process of making the, you know, the white powder from the metals. You can do that. Yes, you can. But be careful with the stages in between. You know, it's better to suck on a gold ingot, in my opinion, because in my studies of Mesoamerican alchemy, the reason why the sun priests down in the Inca and Aztec world wore breastplates of gold, why the brother of Moses wore a breastplate of gold, why the Egyptian pharaohs wore breastplates of gold, is because the body will absorb part of that gold. Part of the enlightenment from people will come from the actual exposure to physical gold. And I think that's better for you than some processed gold that has not yet become white powder. So if you can afford it, you know, go get a bunch of gold foil and make yourself a shirt. I think that would be healthier.
Thank you. Hey, listen, one last question. We're running out of time. We're over time.
Hello?
Oh. Hello.
Hi. This is Cinders. And I'm just getting picked up. And I think that this call...
Hey, Cinders, how are you?
We're getting major echo from you.
I know. I've been hearing echo on my own phone. So I'll make this short. I think this call needs to be second parted, and I'll mute. Hi.
Bye-bye. Hello? Hello?
You know what she said?
Know what she say? I missed part of it.
This call should be second parted. There should be another part for this. And I think that might be a good time to do a second part where people in Europe could easily hear it.
You mean have a second stage right now or some other time?
Some other time.
Because I don't mind to do either. Because, you know, sorry, it takes you months, actually. Hello?
Yes. Listen, we're in the early stages of getting these conference calls happening, and I'm really excited about it. It's a great way to raise funds for Barry. It's a great way to raise awareness in the community. It's a great way to build community and build what I call the Ormus tribe, the awareness of, because most of us have never heard each other.
I want to add one more thing to a previous question. One of the questions was about the Tibetan gold products and what makes them different.
Yes, please.
What I discovered in the Tibetan source material is probably the most balanced group of metals that I have found in any of the salts or any of the other waters of the world. In other words, if you take and make precipitate out of Dead Sea water, for example, you're gonna get two-thirds of it's gonna be gold, M gold, and other waters like the Great Salt Lake, they all have their priority metals in them. In the Tibetan Salt Lake water that we get, I think it's the broadest spectrum precipitate that can be made. I mean, that I've ever been able to find, and I've tried probably 20 different kinds. And I get better results from it myself. It's the only kind I use anymore. Not because I make it, because I think it's one of the best.
So anyway, that's all. The broader the spectrum the Ormus is, the better it is for you.
Well, that's true, because I think we know that these various non-metal metals are rather organ-specific. In other words, some of them tend to enhance brain. Some of them tend to enhance nervous system. Some of them tend to enhance the liver. Some of them tend to enhance the skin. And if you take a broad spectrum Ormus, then you're going to get a little bit of everything. And when you get a little bit of everything, it's healthier for you. Hello?
Excellent. Absolutely. Now, Seek Fizz, I really appreciate this. You taking this time on this call. We are over time now.
Okay, well, I hope I didn't bore. I hope I didn't bore anyone, and I've enjoyed it.
The opposite of being boring. Barry, is there anything you want to say before I wind this thing up?
Well, I think we should think about scheduling a second part on each of these, part where people from Europe could participate more easily.
Okay.
I'll leave that up to Dennis. I'll be available.
No, is it? Yes,
is that people
I will.
Signing out.
Yeah.
Those bells. Is that people leaving?
I going on the line. It's a little difficult to hear sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, so what I'd like to do is next month, because we're going to be doing this conference course in the first weekend of the month.
Yeah, all right.
And the next month, I was trying to get confirmation of this, is another well-talked-about alchemist called Don Nance.
Yeah.
Now, Don Nance, anyone who seems to know anything on this list seems to talk about Don Nance. And I've got one of his products, and it's rather nice. And I would like to have the man on as a guest, but we haven't got confirmation yet that he's going to be on the call. So I will make that confirmation on through email and on the web. And so that's our proposed next guest for next month. And now, what I'd like to suggest is that if you make a donation of $5 to Barry, what is your email address, Barry?
bcarter@igc.org. That's bcarter@igc.org.
Great, thank you. If you make a donation of $5 or more, for every $5 donation, you'll have one virtual ticket in the raffle for Sigvirta's product, the $100 package, which I think is really nice, Sigvirta, sent to you for free, anything you choose off his site. Nice prize. Thank you very much. And effectively, we will make this as a vehicle for the support of Barry and his extraordinary work. Look, there's no one like him on the planet that does what he does.
I think we all appreciate Barry. Even though this is the first time I've ever heard his voice.
So listen, we're going to wind the call up now. Barry, is there anything else you want to say before we bail?
Well, I think that this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to meet the people that are working with Orma. And I'm very, very pleased to have talked with you, Sigvirta, and heard you tell your story. Really appreciate
and
it.
And I with you. I'm glad you were here.
Thank you.
And so say all of us. And thank you very much for being on this call. And I look forward to having even bigger call next month.
Okay, great. Okay, bye-bye, everybody. This is Sigvirta signing off.
Hi, Sigvirta.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yep.